Coming up today on the show, we're going to discuss a little bit of Disney news, and we're going to give our top threes for things at Walt Disney World. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode 429 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. And I am joined today by John.
Sorry for the holdup, folks. There seems to be a slow-moving train up ahead, so we gotta sit here for a spell. You just remain seated, and we'll be right with you.
I did remain seated for quite a while on that one.
I hope that's not an omen for the future.
Hopefully not. I don't know. We had a few technical difficulties with this episode here and there, but we got through it for the most part, and we're here. So, good to see you here.
It's good to be here. Yeah. I didn't know if I would be.
Yeah, but you are. And now you're at Dollywood or Pigeon Forge as we speak.
Oh, yes, that's true, as we speak. That's right. I almost forgot about that. Yes.
And happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. I guess this will be our Thanksgiving episode.
That's right. There'll probably be some people who are listening to this at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's the latest episode.
And maybe people on their Black Friday shopping trips as you're driving around, deal hunting, you're listening to us. So happy to entertain while you're sitting in traffic somewhere, waiting for those doors to open. All right, so shall we get to some news?
Is there news?
There is. Well, just a little bit. Mainly talking about how badly the first night of the Jollywood Nights went.
Yes, I've heard that it did not impress.
Have you heard about this?
I don't know, Jay.
Well, I'm going to do a as of the recording of this thing, but the second one will have taken place after you hear this episode. So, well, actually, the second and third might be better. We'll see. It was like a week in between. So the first one almost seemed like it was that way on purpose, just to like, let's see what happens. See the bare minimum we can do.
It's like experimenting, see what we can get by with.
Yeah. So it seemed, I imagine it will slowly get better, but it still seems like it's kind of way overpriced for what you get kind of thing.
Is that not the Disney theme these days?
True. Compared to, say, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Very Merry Scary Party. You get an extra hour. So this, the Jollywood's only 4 hours. Mickey's is 5, but also you get the 3 hour you can get in the park early with the ticket versus Jollywood Nights. I believe you can get in like 90 minutes early, but it's not like the 3 hour early that you can for Mickey's. So that's another huge difference. And for the main, Christmas party, you have a parade or like two parades. You get the fireworks and all the other meet and greets and whatnots, little stage shows here and there, that kind of thing. Whereas it seems like Jollywood was more, the stage shows were overcrowded, long lines. The drink stations were overcrowded, long lines, not enough staff to handle the demand. And very few people were riding rides. So, again, maybe vloggers and media folks, of course, don't care about riding rides when you're trying to cover
they're trying to cover the stuff you can't get any other time.
Right. So, maybe that the first one was a little bit of a, anomaly for that reason. But I can imagine if you're paying $160, $170, or $180,
depending on the
cases, right? You're not going to go there just to ride some rides. You're going to try to go do the some of the stage shows, some of the special offerings, right? I mean, especially if you only have 4 hours, you know, I would think. The good, I'll say the highlights I looked at and observed, and also, you know, Jason is going to go to this in early December.
Yeah.
So we'll see what his thoughts are on that. But highlights, the Muppet Show, the
what Muppet was Show. It called? Yeah.
Not the Muppet Show. What's it called?
Actually, wasn't that the, it was called the Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along and holiday show with the Muppets? Wasn't that it?
Well, I thought the...
Was that together or was that not combined? I think the, was it not combined?
I think that was separate. I think the...
Oh.
What was it called?
I thought it was combined.
The okay, Nightmare no, Before it wasn't Christmas combined. Is in the Frozen Theater. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's called, what's this? Tim Burton is the Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along.
Right. And then the Beauty and the Beast stage show had the...
What's the name of the Muppets one? I'm looking for it.
The Holiday sing-along? What was it? I forgot what it was called. I watched the show, or most of the show.
Holidays in Hollywood.
There you go. That's the one.
Yeah.
That was the one featuring Kermit and Miss Piggy, and of course Mickey and Minnie, and Tiana was heavily featured. It was good. Like, that show was actually really good. It was pretty long. It was like almost 30 minutes, so, you know, that's a good chunk of the party, especially if you had to wait to get in. And then, you know, the Nightmare Before Christmas one, I think, is about a 20-minute show. What's the other one? Is there another one I'm forgetting? Well, there's Jingle Bangle, Jingle Bam.
That's the fireworks show. That's last.
Right.
Unless you count the, I don't think it's really a show, the soiree, the Twilight soiree at the Tip Top Club Hotel. That's not really a show.
Yeah, it was more like entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a couple of, like a band and stuff playing.
But it was like every so many minutes, right?
I mean, sure. Yeah. But I've heard that the Tip Top Club was overall pretty much a letdown because, well, for one, I heard there was like only a couple of bartenders for all the drinks. And so the lines were like 20, 30 minutes just to get a drink at one of the specialty, you know, places.
Yeah. I was just looking at this, some reviews.
Yeah.
Basically like a 20 plus minute line for one of three drinks. And unfortunately, it says the space wasn't big enough to encourage any dancing, so guests sort of just stand around for the 15-minute set.
Oh, wow.
Right up there. Yeah.
Yikes.
So yeah, it just sounds like space was a problem over there by Tower.
Yeah, not a great venue, they said. Like, not a great location they picked for it and stuff like that. I mean, it was a lot of negative feedback on this, so hopefully they'll improve it. We'll, you know, as this rolls on, we'll see if there's improvement.
Hollywood Studios in and of itself does not have a lot of walking space, period.
Right. And the areas they do have space, you know, aren't really themed for this. So like Toy Story Land, Galaxy's Edge, you know.
Well, the most open space I can think of is like right out in front of the Chinese Theater, right? That's like the most open space in the whole park.
Yeah. And what, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is the only thing going on there.
Yeah.
Anyway. Also, the thing that I was looking forward to the most, if I could go to this year, was the Jazzy Holidays at Brown Derby, but that also seemed to be pretty much a big letdown. There was, like, some garland around with one, like, almost like DJ who was, like, playing music, like, pre-recorded kind of music, so it was almost like an afterthought. So it's not like a live jazz band playing in the Brown Derby, so it was like, that's what they made it sound like it was going to be, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, kind of a bummer, too.
Some of this stuff seems as though they just didn't have the capacity to handle the crowd that was there. But here's my issue with that. Are they still just trying to figure out how many tickets they should sell to this? Or they sound like they oversold.
Yeah, I saw some heavy crowds, especially on the Sunset Boulevard. A lot of people waiting to get into the shows.
I feel like nowadays they use things like AI, right? They use things like this to try and estimate how many tickets they can sell and still have this. They probably factor in so many people are going to be riding rides and it didn't work that way.
Yeah.
But if you're going to make it a special ticketed event, people want it to feel exclusive, and nothing about this feels exclusive because of how long they had to wait for everything.
Right.
I mean, not having to wait is part of the exclusivity, I guess, if that's a word.
Right. Yeah. That's if you're paying as much as a Christmas party or more in some cases, you're
going to want that.
You have to deliver that experience. No.
Yeah, you're going to want that, though. We have the park to ourselves type feel.
Right. Exactly. Another thing I noticed, too, was merch. They didn't have but like one shirt, and then they sold out very quickly of most sizes and everything. So there was like no variety of merch, like the Very Merry Christmas has, or just in general, they have a lot of Christmassy merch, but event-exclusive stuff they didn't have.
You know, looking at this and just seeing some data you can take away from this, right?
Yeah.
I found it interesting right here how at the holiday, Echo Lake Holiday Celebration, says Disney described it as a throwback Wonderland featuring holiday music and characters from classic Disney Channel favorites.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular meet and greet over here in this area. So you could find Chip and Dale, Phineas and Ferb, and Powerline Max.
Mm.
Out of those, the most popular line, or the longest line that had wait times were in excess of 45 to 60 minutes, was Phineas and Ferb.
Mm.
I don't know if it's because of the uniqueness, like you don't ever see them that much anymore.
Maybe.
But it kind of speaks to things that people liked in the past, they obviously still know and like, right? I mean, Phineas and Ferb is further in the past than some people would think,
That's true.
In some cases.
Right, yeah, it is.
What you got to realize there is some of the, I guess it would be adults now, were kids whenever that first came out. So I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah.
And you have things like Disney Plus where you can expose your kids and so on to all kinds of eras of Disney. And I'm sure that's among the ones that people expose their kids to as well.
Yeah. I tried to get my kids to watch like Rescue Rangers and Tailspin, but they did not. They did not get into it.
I always thought Phineas and Ferb was hilarious. I watched it, and I didn't even have kids at the time. I mean, I used to watch it. I always thought it was hilarious.
I didn't, yeah. I don't remember watching it that much. I did.
Have you watched it at all?
A little bit.
It's the type of humor I think you would totally get.
Yeah, not enough to. Yeah, I should watch more of it. Just like Big City Greens, I watched some of it. I just haven't watched all of it.
Big City Greens is hilarious.
It's really good. Yeah,
yeah, it's hilarious.
I just haven't watched like a lot of it. I've watched bits and pieces. Yeah,
I would say that's in a similar vein to Phineas and Ferb, but not exactly.
Okay,
but
got it.
But yeah,
got some catching up to do.
There you go.
On my Disney. Another thing I wanted to mention in the news recently is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind won the Thea Award for Outstanding Attraction.
What exactly is the Thea?
Isn't it like themed entertainment something? Isn't that what that stands for?
I just don't remember us ever coming across this before until now.
Themed like, entertainment like, association or something? Yeah.
Like, did Disney not have any awards to brag on in the last 6 years that we've been doing this podcast?
No, I feel like Rise won at one point, and then Flight of Passage maybe won this. I vaguely remember hearing about this.
It's actually TEA. It's Themed Entertainment Association.
Yeah.
Not Thea.
Well, I don't know why all the news sites listen
to this. Well, this says Thea, but I mean, it is TEA.
I guess
they call them Theas. What they call their awards.
I guess.
The organization is TEA.
But it stands for Themed Entertainment Association or Awards. Anyway.
The TEA stands for Themed Entertainment Association.
Right.
But they give awards out and they call them Theas.
So Thea. So anyway, one outstanding attraction.
They do call them Thea, though. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, won it for Outstanding Attraction. So hey, it is. I mean, it really is. So it's the best thing that they've built since Flight of Passage, I would say.
No, I think that's it's pretty easy to say.
Yeah. But I mean, it's true. It's a fantastic, it's very original, fantastic experience. So
Well, it's about the only original thing they've built since then, actually, has it not? Is it not? I mean,
I'm sure you say Rise is, but it's Rise.
Oh, that's right.
Its core is a trackless ride, kind of like Ratatouille, in a way, but way better than that. But yeah, way more complex than that, I should say.
Right, right.
But still, very similar.
Yeah, I started to say that Star Wars has a very specific fan base, but I guess Marvel kind of does too. But Guardians kind of transcends the normal Marvel fan. Like, I wouldn't call myself a normal Marvel fan, but I enjoy the Guardians movies.
Right.
Whereas I wouldn't necessarily watch the other Marvel movies. Most of them, anyway.
Not a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be a Guardians fan even to enjoy this ride.
No.
It's just fun. Yeah.
No, you don't.
True that.
I guess I was just trying to compare that the Rise is impressive on its own, but it is very much geared toward a specific fan base.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree.
Agreed.
All right. Anything, let's see. There's a few others here and there, but as far as newsworthy news, anything else?
They're already... Well, I guess it's not too early for this. They have bookable.
Oh yeah,
a deal that's 50% off kid tickets and dining plan in the spring and early summer. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw that. It was you have to buy a rack rate hotel room, right? But so I'm like, I always prefer the hotel discount.
I don't know.
50% off tickets.
Yeah. 50% off tickets is a big deal. They never discount tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's kids, but still, kids are almost as expensive as adults in this era.
Yeah, there's literally a $5 difference. I don't even know why they have that $5 difference anymore.
It's just $5? I thought it was still more than $5, but good Lord.
It's just $5. So why a day ticket is $5 cheaper for a kid, I have no idea. And it's only 3 to 9... as well, so.
You know, I haven't looked across the board, but I bet Disney is the only company that does that, like charges just as much, if not the same, for kids as they do the adults. I bet everybody else has a much bigger gap.
Right.
Well, maybe not much bigger, but definitely bigger.
Right. Oh, and speaking of, though, the Christmas party did have, the first Christmas party, I've heard good things about that, even though I think, wasn't the first one sold out? But a lot of people were saying it was noticeably lower crowds than like last year was, even though, so they must have learned
something. I was like, hey, we can get fewer people in here, charge more, and still make the same amount of money.
Yeah, basically, because that's what they did. The prices are still pretty dang high. But the experience looks to be a lot better.
I don't know if we'll call it. I mean, a lot of times the very first party, like we're talking about the Jollywood nights, right? A lot of times they put that price tag and they kind of oversell it to some degree or they do something that they need to tweak as time goes on. So,
yeah. So as I was gonna say too, hopefully we'll have better news on Jollywood as the days and weeks progress.
The Journey of Water background music is now available for streaming.
Ooh,
seems to be a thing there. I think that would be kind of a nice soundtrack to listen to.
It'd be nice to go to sleep to.
I guess that's a good endorsement of the attraction, though.
Yeah. Just make sure you go to the bathroom before you go to bed. Might make you think too much about water. I don't know.
The journey of water in your body.
Yeah. Did you see, too, the new community, Cotino? Like, the house designs they released. I got blasted by this from Disney on Instagram. And I'm like, okay, you're just showing me, what the outside of these houses are going to look like.
Looks like they fit into everything else in that area.
Right. Some are two-story, some are ranch style. They all kind of look like, southwest-looking homes.
Right. There's nothing that indicates Disney, so...
Yeah.
Some of these houses that I'm looking at here, like stuff that I would see in like Breaking Bad scenes.
Well, it is in the desert, kind of. So anyway, that happened. I was not overly impressed with that. So I'm like, all right, cool beans. So
yeah, I don't think this one's gonna really hit. You know, like it's not gonna make a big splash, to be honest, as much as they would have originally hoped. But
certainly,
you know,
not in the desert.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Perhaps.
I just don't see that. They need to stick to what they do well, in my opinion.
And do what you do best. Show off. That's what they need to do. All right. I think we can move into our next phase here little earlier.
Something you're going to surprise me with.
Yeah. So I, of course, you know, with the help of artificial intelligence, came up with a topic almost like a little bit of a rapid fire, but this is off the top of your head. We're going to list the top three things that come to mind when we talk about these subjects.
So it's going to be like, oh, I don't know, a surprise.
Yeah. So since we've been talking about the holiday season and, you know, Christmas time is in full tilt here at Disney
and most places,
what are your top three things that you would do this season at Disney? What would be your top three?
The top three things that I would do this season at Disney?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take it right now it would not be Jollywood Nights.
I don't know. I probably would do Jollywood Nights because I looked at the wait times that night and those were pretty low. So I would do it for that reason alone.
Well, what I learned about Lightning Lanes today, I probably would not do Jollywood Nights.
Well, not for $150 or to $70. You're probably right about that part.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to spend the money, you could use that as one of your days, really, if you're gonna have wait times like that.
I suppose. Yeah, if you just want to do Rise, but I think your money's better spent on the Christmas party.
True.
So,
gosh, I can't think of any one like specific thing that's like just stands out from this season. A Jingle Cruise, maybe I could put that in there.
Okay, that's always a thing to do.
Yeah.
So top three things. So Jingle Cruise
is going to be in there. No particular order of these.
Right. I would say Christmas party. I would say Mickey's Very Merry.
I'm gonna say so far we're staying in MK.
Yeah. For all that comes with it.
Anything, there's nothing really all that specific. I mean, they have decorations and at the different countries in Epcot, but nothing just stands out that's like I mean, I would definitely go there because it's Epcot. I mean,
for Epcot I would say Festival of the Holidays / Candlelight Processional with, you know, there's a couple of really good
Events that are going on there.
Speakers this year, or narrators.
So, I mean, that's going to be worth your time if you're there or if you're going. So I would throw that as the third thing, I guess. That's the next best thing I can think of.
Yeah.
But, of course, there's always the different edible decorations, I guess.
Right.
I mean, you don't actually get to eat any of these things, not for real. But, I mean, they are made of real food is what I mean.
Yeah.
All over the resorts.
Right. You know, that's kind of what I was going to say. And I guess it falls into Festival of the Holidays somewhat too, which I really enjoy Festival of the Holidays because you have all the different, you know, tradition, like these speakers that come and do their little tradition things, plus the little food and wine-ish thing where you get kind of the holiday food and beverages. So that kind of falls in line with that. So
when when I said edible, I didn't want to give anybody the false impression that they could just walk up to the gingerbread house and take a bite out of it.
Right. Sure.
Someone might try that these days.
Yes. The gingerbread houses are Grand Floridian and or Contemporary in particular. But I think, does Boardwalk have stuff like that? I think some other...
Boardwalk actually has a carousel made of gingerbread.
Yeah. And then Yacht and Beach has something too, right? They do.
Like a sandcastle, maybe? I don't remember there. I don't remember. I was there during Christmas time. I don't remember seeing the one on the beach club lobby.
They usually do. I haven't heard about it this year, but they usually do.
I remember Boardwalks.
And I would say the Christmas tree trail at Disney Springs is cool too, as a bonus one. I wouldn't put it in the top three though, but cool to do.
So I'm gonna say we just did like top six.
Yeah, I know. But if Jock Lindsey's has the pop up bar, I love a good Christmas pop up bar, so that would be another one. But anyway. Okay. Top three thrill rides. What are your top three thrill rides right now?
Right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guardians, Everest. This is just my personal one. Guardians, Everest, and I guess Tron, because I mean some of those other ones count as thrill rides, but they're, if I'm gonna say the level of thrill, I get.
Yeah. I would say Tron, Guardians is number one, of course, but Tron's probably number two. Number three, Flight of Passage still, I would probably say.
Does that count as a thrill ride?
I think it's thrilling, yeah.
Well, I mean, not what I traditionally like define as a thrill ride.
Well, then...
To me, a thrill ride has to like jerk you around a little bit.
Well, that doesn't jerk you around a little bit?
Not enough.
A banshee doesn't jerk you around?
It's more like a slightly more intense version of Soarin' as far as the design. But, I mean, it's more than that. I'm not trying to downplay it. But it's as far as, like, the actual design.
Then Big Thunder? I don't know.
Okay.
Is that thrilling enough for you?
It's a thrill ride.
Okay.
It's one so I considered.
One of those two. All right. Not really. I'm not as big on space.
I mean, it just wasn't top three. Like
it's not my top three, yeah.
I did the first three that came to mind.
Well, that's what I did. Okay. But you didn't agree that it was a thrill ride. Anyway, we can debate that later. Top three drinks at Epcot, what would they be?
I don't even have a clue.
Around World Showcase, any three that come to mind? What are the first three that come to mind then at Epcot in general? It doesn't have to be alcohol.
I was going to say, I don't really have a lot to choose from in general, but...
Joffrey's.
It could be. I guess the ones that came to mind are ones we've really talked about. I would say the avocado.
Mm-hmm. Avocado, sure.
That's one of the first ones that came to mind, just because when you say that word, that's what it made me think of. One that a lot of people find popular, I don't even think I've ever had it, the Grey Goose Slush. If I did, it's been a long time ago. It's popular.
I've had it. It's okay. Wouldn't be in my top three.
I can't think of a third one that just stands out right off the top of my head. Do you have a third one that stands out?
Tennessee Lemonade.
Are they all at La Cava?
No. Well, I could do three at La Cava for sure.
Like, what's La Cava's top three?
Top three, La Cava, Dragones Top Shelf, Avocado, and the Corn Old Fashioned. But for me, Corn Old Fashioned, I'll go Top Shelf as number two, and then Tennessee Lemonade as number three. Something outside of La Cava.
Tennessee Lemonade. Is that the one over at
Regal?
Yes. I think I've had that.
And when we were there a month ago, we discovered you could mobile order Tennessee Lemonades from Regal Eagle instead of having to wait in the outdoor line. So,
cool.
Booyah. Okay. Top three parades or shows. That's a slightly different one.
Parades or shows.
I would say Once Upon a Christmas. You got to say that right off the bat. It's worth it, even if you have to buy the party ticket or if you go during Christmas week, you can see it.
So we're actually, this is for Christmas season still?
Well, I'm just saying it because it is Christmas season.
Okay.
Right now, I would say it's a must. It's great. Good Christmas parade.
I'm not really big on parades, so it's...
What about shows?
It depends on the show.
Jollywood Nights? I mean, I think the Muppet one actually is really good. It's very long, though.
Well, I haven't seen it, so it sounds good.
I've watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's good.
So that show or Muppet Vision? No?
Yeah. Both of those are behind a paywall. Okay. I would say this show's good, but again, it's behind a giant paywall, if you will.
Right. So you can't just say, I'm going to go over here and see this show unless you pay $160.
Yeah. But Once Upon a Christmas, if you show up during Christmas week, you'll get to see it for, included. So there's that. That one you could see, depending on when you're going, without having to buy a party ticket.
I don't really do shows that much. I'm trying to think of one that we actually... I will say, I guess it still runs normally. The Beauty and the Beast show has been running a long time for a reason, because it's because it's good.
I think Frozen one's good too, though.
It's more entertaining if you have a good actors in it, if they're really good at what they do. It definitely affect. It's very dependent upon how good they are, is what I'm trying to say. They can impact it, the sing-along. So.
And we will be right back.
Ah, teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her own car? Mowing lawns and getting paid. She'll go from washing your car to flexing with her own. How? With Greenlight, the money app for families. Together, you can navigate the world of earning, saving, and investing. Because when you teach her to be smart about money, she'll go far. Invest in your best investment. Sign up today at greenlight.com.
And now, back to the show.
This one's going to take some thinking. Top three hidden gems in the parks, or to be more specific, lesser known attractions or spots in the parks.
I'm sure there's plenty lesser known spots. Lesser known attract. I mean, if it's an attraction, it's the definition itself means people are attracted to it in some way, shape, or form.
Right. It doesn't have to be a ride. It just could be an area or...
So it's kind of like, if I were going to think attraction, though, like one that people do maybe skip at, you know, various ones. We just named one a minute ago, Muppet Vision. I still think it's worthy. I think it's worthy of going to.
I think Star Tours at Hollywood Studios is underrated. It holds a lot of people. The line can be, you know, pretty short most of the day. But
is it really a hidden gem? Is that the way you put it?
Well, I mean, you get a different experience every time you ride it, just about. I mean,
yes,
depending.
I don't think when it comes to an attraction, you can really find a hidden gem, because if it's going to be good, people are going to know about it when it comes to attractions.
Or maybe it's just a tried and true, like one that's really fun to do, like it's like Spaceship Earth or something, or the land, you know, I think that typically doesn't have a wait or a long wait.
The category that I usually find for hidden gems would be like restaurants, right? Because you have a lot of the ones that people always tell you to go to, but then there's always going to be at least one that's good and not as many people talk about. And one of my favorites like that, of course, is Garden Grill. But
easy to get a resi or something for it on the fly too.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, if people like us talk about it enough, then eventually it will
be available. True that.
But I'm just trying to think. Hidden gem. So it could be anything, you said?
Yeah. According to this, anything in the parks, because I can think of lots of places outside the parks I would consider hidden gems. But
so you mean like in the resort?
Well, it says in parks.
Yeah, but I mean, if you said outside of it, you could think of plenty of places.
Oh, yeah.
You still meant within the resort, though. You didn't mean outside of Disney.
Correct, inside Disney.
But this is like, in the parks.
Well, let's do outside the parks really quick, because I could easily say Bar Riva.
Again, we're talking about
Dahlia Lounge.
See, we're talking about bars and lounges outside the park.
That's true, but I'm talking about places you'd go to hang out. I even like the mini golf, Winter Summerland or something like that. I think that's a good little spot.
I think to me, I mean, I know we've criticized it before, but just thinking of this type of things that I do have come to appreciate more often.
Mm-hmm.
In the parks, I would actually consider something like the Treehouse somewhat of a hidden gem. Because if you're actually going through it, you might see some things you hadn't or either forgotten about because it's been a long time since you'd done it.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's really neat if you just appreciate it for what it is when you look at it. And especially when I've watched the videos of the new one in Disneyland, I think that was a good idea to do that the way they did it.
Yeah. I think on a good day, where, you know, good weather day and such, I think Tom Sawyer Island's a hidden gem. It's like a nice little relaxing break.
Literally hidden.
Right. Yeah, can be. I think it's fun to go over there still. I think it's worth it to do it. So there you have it. All right. I think we can keep going now. Quick service. What would your top three be currently? What first three come to mind? I'd probably go by park.
Thule.
Yeah, Satuli's always
Satuli's probably
one.
The first one that came to mind when it came to quick service.
It's always number one.
Gosh. Yeah, we are saying within parks, right? It's funny, that one came so easy, and now I'm having to think about the other two.
Yeah, I would say Regal Eagle comes to mind still.
Yeah.
Not much has changed on this for me.
Well, I got to be, based on the last couple of experience, what is it, La Hacienda, La Cantina? The quick service.
Talked about
based
that.
On my last couple of experiences, I would put that one as a,
that's a good one.
You know, it's a reliable. It's an old reliable.
Yeah.
Is there really a place at Studios I would consider?
Is,
truth be told, if I'm just thinking quick service, you know what the first one that comes to mind that I know I'm going to get a decent quality and have a pretty decent variety is commissary.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Commissary. Yep. It's good. Does baseline count as quick service?
I don't think it does, but I mean, I guess you could eat a meal there.
You can get food. It's very, it's light food, but you can get food there.
Yeah.
I would say in the parks too.
Notice we haven't said anything from Magic Kingdom.
Well, we said, didn't we say?
No, we haven't said anything from Magic Kingdom so far, quick service wise.
Well, I would say I had a decent experience at Cosmic Rays last time. Actually, it was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Not amazing, but it's decent.
Again, another reliable that is what it is Casey's, but
yeah, and I think Pinocchio's has been pretty good.
Really? So
yeah.
I guess what we're hearing really is that the level at Magic Kingdom is improving.
I think there's decent options at Magic Kingdom. I think Pinocchio, the flatbreads or pizzas, whatever you can call them, are pretty decent. Not bad.
Has Pecos Bills been regulated to the worst?
It hasn't been great ever since COVID and the ending of the toppings bar.
Yeah.
It's not been as good. But I mean, you can still get a burger there. It's fine.
It's fallen from grace.
I used to get the Big Al burger during the 50th. That was the other one there, but anyway,
okay.
It was decent. All right, so they're still good, kind of the same ones.
This brings an interesting topic. We're going to have to like re-rank some of the quick services in each park one day.
For more
recent experience.
Probably. Tried and true ones kind of keep rising to the top, I think, though.
Sounds like it.
So, top five. Now, this is an interesting one. I got to think about top five souvenirs to take home. What would you, if someone was saying like, "Hey, I gotta go," what kind of souvenir should I get?
So, if I'm gonna be recommending this to someone for like a first time, I guess type deal, right?
Yeah,
like what the musts are, because there is no must for me. I'm not a big shopper. So.
I would say the merch quality has diminished quite a bit.
It's hard to find something that just stands out. That's unique in a good way.
Yeah. I would say quality-wise, if you want like a souvenir, I think pins are good. Like you can find some pretty cool, decent quality.
You mean like trading
pins? Yeah, trading pins for a new attraction or like the time of year, like Christmas pins. They have really unique ones. Stuff like that. I think a pin is a good way to go if you want just a keepsake of some sort, like a souvenir to take home. That's on my list. I would recommend that. They're not terribly priced for Disney.
Sometimes they do good with the coffee mugs.
Right. I agree with that. I love a good coffee mug.
Yeah, but for instance, there was one that I got for my brother-in-law a couple of years back that was a Haunted Mansion one.
Is it?
Can you remember what else was on it? But I remember that it came with its own stirrer that was like a shovel, right? So what it was designed as was a shovel for stirring your drink with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, stuff like that's kind of unique. I can't remember what the mug itself was now, though, but it was cool. I remember that.
Ugh.
My favorite one I have for me is one that I actually got off Shop Disney. Was a 20,000 Leagues mug that I got.
Okay. Yeah, I would say pins, kind of mugs or drinkware is usually pretty good. I would steer clear of most of the toys because they're horrible quality in most cases.
Yeah.
They don't withstand children playing with them for 5 seconds.
Balloons, so, right?
Yeah, no. So,
I never used to have a strong opinion about balloons before I had kids.
Yeah.
Now I can't stand the sight of them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And it's like, who's going to carry that around all day? Like, that's, yeah, I don't, the balloon thing I don't get.
Well, it works.
I used to love, like, a good shirt or hoodie or things, but most of the designs now, I don't like the spirit jerseys and stuff, I think are just hideous for the most part.
You know, the merchant from the past that I liked when they stopped really doing it in the way that they were doing it, at least. Yeah. You know how they used to always sell like the die-cast vehicles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those, they used to have good quality, like a test track vehicle and stuff like that. Yeah.
I wonder why they got out of that game.
Yeah, you can still find like a train or a monorail or like a parking lot tram or something like that or a bus, but that's about it.
But there was like a very specific, you know, like a line, right? Die-cast attraction vehicles.
Yeah, like metal, like good quality ones, not plastic.
I mean, can you even get one for the Guardians vehicle? Or can you?
You can get a plastic one because I have one.
Okay. It's like you can get a plastic one.
Yeah. I have one and I had to take it from my children because they broke one immediately.
Of course.
Anyway, I have a Guardians one somewhere around here.
You know, I need to check what the value is on some of those old ones because I have several that are still in the box.
Yeah, I have a People Mover one somewhere too that I thought was cool. But again, they're plastic. They're not like they used to make. The kids would destroy them, but I had to like take some away from my children so they wouldn't destroy them.
But I'm talking from the one from like 20 plus years ago. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I got. I have several of those still in box.
Yeah.
Still in the
box.
Some
of them might be worth something. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, it's not like they used to make it. Not as good and not as unique. I'm not a fan of most of the merch. I don't think I came up with three, but pins for sure, like I said. And then what was the other one?
We did coffee mugs.
Pins and mugs. That's about it. Maybe a shirt here or there, but it's kind of few and far between. That's what I would say.
Or maybe if you order one of the special desserts or drinks that come in a unique take-home thing, maybe that sometimes that's good.
That's true. I do like a good souvenir mug if it's good. Or my kids love the popcorn buckets, so
there you go.
There's a good take-home. And you can bring it back and use it in the future. So,
and those are, for the most part, more unique than what you would get.
How about relaxing spots? Top three relaxing spots.
That's a little more my thing. Like, it's just spots, and does it have to be in the parks? Did it specify?
It does say in the parks, but we can expand that out to anywhere.
Well, when I think of relaxing spots in the park, for some reason, one of the first ones that came to mind was People Mover. I find that to be a relaxing spot.
That's a nice little, 11, 12 minute break.
Yeah.
It's a nice little whatever. Unless, if it breaks down even longer, that's great. Could happen. I was going to say at Epcot, the Odyssey building is usually got a lot of seating in there and air conditioning. So it's usually a good spot to kind of get away for a minute.
It's actually kind of hard to find just spots where you can chill out, believe it or not, because there's so many thrilling attractions in the Future World now, or at least at least on the one side.
Right. La Cava is a great place to chill.
La Cava is a great place to chill, to relax. Oh, I mean,
it is.
A lot of people in there.
Yeah, I can still relax there.
You know what has a relaxing feeling, even though it's a shop, is the music and stuff they play in the Japanese shop. What's the name of it?
Mitsukoshi,
yes. Mm-hmm. Like the atmosphere they create in there is actually a very soothing atmosphere.
Yeah, I would say just hanging out in the Japan Pavilion, too. You can go up that in the gardens area. It's kind of chill up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good spot. Hollywood Studios, though, is going to say Brown Derby Lounge, but again, I know I'm talking about lounges too much, but
yeah,
it's a great place to people watch if you're just kind of sitting there. It's a nice right. little, have a little drink, have some food, people watch. It's like a, it's kind of relaxing. That's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
Baseline, you can kind of do that too. So I'd throw that in there. Even like Pizza Rizzo, I think if you, it's kind of a nice little out of the way area.
Is it because there's nobody in there?
Yeah, maybe. But aside from Muppets letting out, if there's a decent crowd, I mean, there's really nothing over there.
Yeah.
In that area, except maybe the few people going to Mama Melrose's. But
yeah,
that's about it. So that little area, Muppet Courtyard's a good little spot, I think.
When you say relax, I guess when people relax, they usually are sitting down or something.
Right.
But one of the places that I kind of find serene, I guess, just because of the atmosphere and what you can see, is like that little road that goes behind the Tree of Life, that section right there.
Totally. I agree.
You come to this really great view of the Tree of Life. There.
Yes. There are tons of places like that and Animal Kingdom that are tucked away.
Yeah.
That you just have to find.
Right.
Especially the, like you said, yeah, the trails around Tree of Life, there's lots of areas there. But then even those little places you can sit on the way between like Africa and Asia, there's like these little docks so you can go sit at a table, or that sometimes they're not crowded, sometimes they are. Depends on the time of day, but that's nice little, there's plenty of these little hideaways.
You know, it used to be, I don't know what it's going to be like now because they've destroyed it all, and or they're rebuilding it, obviously, in Epcot over, like, Innoventions West, I guess it would have been. There was that one kind of, like, long corridor there that had a few seats in it. You could just kind of sit there, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there was very few, it was such a huge space, but so few people went in it that came in that area.
It's good. It's true. Even unless it was raining, maybe.
Yeah.
That's about it. It's a good point. Dino Land's a great place to, like, not be around people.
That's what I was saying. We started saying, where's the best place to avoid people? It's going to be basically wherever they have something that's recently been torn down or there's just nothing there.
Yeah, exactly. This is interesting. This is a unique one. What would be your top three resorts if you were going to do a staycation and no park days? If you were just going to go to a resort and not do the parks.
Top three. This is that is an interesting one. You're right. I think my top three, the first ones I think of, Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
I think of that one. Yacht Club.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
I have a couple I could put in this spot. I think I'm going to go with Polly, though, because I think Polly can be a very good one to just stay at.
I would say I'm going to throw in a Mod. Go Coronado.
Mods.
As number three.
I always think of the deluxes for this right. thing. For this
but
topic.
As we know, but as far as mods go, Coronado is by far the best one.
It's a Mod Dux.
Yeah. Because you've got three bridges, you've got restaurants, you've got lounges, you got everything. So even if you're an outer building, you've got the best bathroom on property at three bridges. along with really good food and
including three bridges.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got Dahlia Lounge, you've got, you know, the market, you've got El Mercado. Yeah. I mean, great scenery.
You know, I've never stayed there, but from what I've seen, I feel like Saratoga could potentially be a good option for that, too.
Yeah, I mean, when we did Treehouse was great. I don't know if I'd put it in the top three, though. I would love hanging out there more. Saratoga
kind of
was
away
great.
It's kind of away from the main congestion, I guess you could say.
Could be. I was going to go Wilderness Lodge, number two, because you do have some options there.
Some nice areas. Yeah.
I was thinking Polly as well, but just to be different, I'll throw in Grand Floridian because I still love the design of it. And you got tons of great food options there, so you won't go hungry.
I feel like Old Key West is laid back, so that could
Yeah, if you wanted to do some biking and stuff, that would be fun.
We said, what was the category again?
Staycation.
Just staycation.
You're gonna do a staycation in.
Well, that's
a resort.
What I'm saying. A lot of options over there at Key West, including golf. So
yeah, that too.
Close to it,
but also yeah, Saratoga, like you said, it's right there on LBV. So
yeah,
you can play golf
all those.
There. Even really most, yeah.
I can say really most of the deluxes, obviously, you could put in this category, but
yeah, totally. Like Boardwalk or Yacht and Beach, you know, as you said, Yacht Club, but Boardwalk too, you got lots of options around there to entertain you. Riviera is another decent choice. It's probably the most expensive one, but if you're going to do a staycation, maximize that resort time.
And there's a reason why my first one was Animal Kingdom Lodge, because you get that exotic theming. You get some really good restaurants and things like that, and it's a little further away from a lot of the other stuff, which also gives you the, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it has a good atmosphere.
All right.
Wilderness Lodge, you know the one thing I didn't like about Wilderness Lodge that much? I like a lot about the resort, but I'm not so crazy about the rooms themselves at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, they're a little on the smaller side, yeah, that's for sure. For a deluxe, they are.
Yeah.
They're fine, but yeah, they're not like top three rooms, if you're asking me what rooms.
Right. I mean, they really, even the theming doesn't leave you like very memorable, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe at Copper Creek. That looks good.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Top three snacks that you would say if you, every time, it says that you get every time, what would be your top three?
I don't even have one that I get every time. I have some that I get more often than others.
Well, there you have it. What would you get?
I'm trying to remember what they are now. Well, I mean, I have obviously gotten Dole Whip a good bit.
Yeah.
It's one of them.
I would say ones that we get often, and these are not tied to a specific place, popcorn, because the kids do the buckets, so you can refill them for like $2.25, which is a pretty good deal. And the Mickey pretzels, they love the Mickey pretzels.
Those are good.
You just dip them in that whatever cheese product that, who knows what it actually is, but they love the Mickey pretzels. Those are two right there that you can get just about anywhere that are consistent snacks.
I mean, it's funny. I'm just kind of drawing a blank on the snack thing.
Chips and queso and guac at La Cava. That would be, is that considered a snack?
I guess it counts. Sure. Why not? We'll throw that in there. I'm trying to think of something that I just get consistently, and I'm like, I don't think I kind of rotate it. I kind of try new things when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Most of the
time.
There
are some go-tos. I wouldn't say they're snacks, though. But like Baseline has their charcuterie board. If I'm at Baseline, I'm getting that.
Yeah.
So, stuff like that, but as far as just snacks, those two are the main ones, pretzel and popcorn, maybe.
God, I can't even think. There's not even, like, a specific, like, even, like, say it's a place like Satouli, like, if you were going to get, like, a dessert or something there's not even a specific one that I just say is, like, a must that you would get every time, or I can't even think of something like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, next. Must-dos at Disney Springs. If you're going to go there, what would you do?
Well, ever since I've tried it, I would do Gideon's.
Oh, so you do think it's worth going back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. Good to know.
It's going to depend on the line, but as long as it's not, you know, getting into the territory where they do the virtual queue or anything like that, then if it's not approaching that territory, then I would say it's worth it.
Okay.
Jock Lindsey's, just because of the uniqueness, I think, the theming.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably on my list to do.
Oh, Polite Pig, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Polite Pig's a good choice.
Can we count that?
I could. Uniqlo would be one that we always end up going in just because we like Uniqlo. I might say World of Disney, although it just depends. Like, it can be so crowded in there. If it's a busy time of year, or a busy day.
Yeah. I'm not really big on shopping, though, like I say, so.
Yeah. But if if you're trying to find something, chances are that's where you'll find it. I mean, it's the biggest store that has most of the merch out there.
Gotcha.
But it can be chaos in there sometimes.
What was that like? I can't remember the name of it now. I intended to do it at some point, but then they closed it. The virtual realities that they had over there, what was it? What were they called?
Oh, yeah. They had the Star Wars one, whatever. Yeah. I forgot what it was called, but yeah. Never got to do those. I forgot what they were called, too. But speaking of that area, though, Marketplace Co-op is the store I like. That's where you can get, like, the custom iPhone or custom phone cases or magic bands, stuff like that. That's the best place to get those.
All right.
I think we can wrap it up there. So where can we be found?
Well, there is always Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel. Where can that be found, Adam?
Our website, travelingwithamouse.com. You can find links to that and more there. We have an email address, podcast@travelingwithamouse.com. And on our website, we also have a travel agent friend who you can click through there and have her help you with your next Disney travels. So, for John, my name is Adam. This is Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.